Carla. Next item, please.
Item 820, a request of Teresa Venkatachalapathy, to address council regarding Freedom Cities.
Welcome. Is this your first time here?
It is.
Well, welcome to Democracy in Action.
Thank you.
And we are delighted to have you. And I noticed there's a lot of other people wearing similar things. Could they stand just so we can acknowledge them? Let's give them a round of applause, Madam President. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, guys, thanks so much for allowing me to speak today. I'm coming on behalf of myself and a lot of other Portland residents to advocate for Portland's adoption of the ACLU's 9 model policies for law enforcement. We're all fundamentally grateful that we live in a state and a city that welcome immigrants and refugees, and we're really impressed with Resolution 37277 that has declared Portland a welcoming city and a sanctuary city and an inclusive city for all. We also find that a lot of the city's current practices align well with the ACLU's suggested policies. So what we'd really like to do is capture those practices in official city code so that they're more explicit and more permanent. We feel Resolution 37277 is written in pretty general terms, which leaves some room for interpretation. So, for example, we'd like city code to explicitly require a judicial warrant before arresting or detaining or transporting an individual at the request of ICE or CBP.
Thank you.
Currently, the state code only covers arrests. We'd also like city code that prohibits ICE and CBP agents from entry into Portland facilities unless they're acting pursuant to a court order or unless they have a legitimate law enforcement duty that is unrelated to civil immigration law. If they are granted access, which sometimes, of course, they must be, we want them to be required to wear their duty jackets and required to have their badges visible at all times so that people always know who they're talking to. We'd also like city code that explicitly limits information gathering and sharing by city officials. We should not be collecting data on immigration status and citizenship status unless there's a legitimate law enforcement need for it. And we shouldn't be sharing information with ICE or CBP unless it has been federally mandated. Federal code can require us to share information on citizenship status and immigration status, but we can prohibit sharing of information beyond that, like custody status or release dates or work schedules or things like that. We'd like city code that explicitly prohibits surveillance on the basis of race, ethnicity, perceived religion, immigration status, and discriminatory law enforcement based on those attributes as well. We know about Police Directive 810.10, but it actually does not specify discrimination based on ethnicity, religion, or immigration status. It also doesn't prohibit discriminatory surveillance, and it doesn't pertain to people outside the police bureau. Once the other policies have been codified, then the Independent Review Board can oversee compliance within the police bureau, and the Ombudsman's Office can oversee compliance for other city officials. Basically, it's a lot harder to rectify violations of current practice than it would be to rectify violations of an explicit city policy. So we hope you'll continue to engage with us about the ACLU's 9 model policies.
Teresa, is it Teresa?
Yeah.
Can I ask you a couple questions?
Yeah. So I didn't state my name. I'm Teresa Venkatachalapathy. Thank you.
I'm glad you said that. if you don't mind, just so that I don't do violence to your name, I'll just call you Teresa.
Great.
And I'm Nick. So we have the document, so thank you. It strikes me that a number of these model law enforcement policies are probably directed at the county and not the city, since the county does the detentions, the county has the interface with ICE, and we have different roles. But the county, as you know, runs the sheriff's office and the prisons. And so are you planning to bring the same proposal to the county Board of Commissioners?
Yeah, many of us have, I believe, brought to Multnomah County a lot of the same information.
So one of the things that I'm going to want to find out, or I think my colleagues will be interested, is which of these is directed to us and which is really within the wheelhouse of the county because we're bifurcated. And that's one question. The second is, Can you, in any follow-up that you give us,
sure.
Can you let us know what other cities have taken action on any of these kinds of model reforms so we can see where it's working and get some comparables?
Sample policy code,
we can have that. So that would be helpful. And the third thing is, I just want to reassure you, because there's a constant refrain in these model policies that goes to this fundamental question of whether we're going to comply with state law that prohibits us from using public resources to enforce federal immigration laws. And as you know, when we adopted our Sanctuary City Ordinance resolution, which is reaffirming our position, we once again said we will follow state law. And we are currently, the council has also taken action to authorize the city attorney to intervene in a lawsuit challenging the Trump administration on some proposed penalties that they're going to bring to cities and localities that do have a sanctuary city designation. So just so you know, but we have reaffirmed our commitment not to use public resources. Some of these, I think, probably apply more to the county than the city, and some probably do apply to us. So we'll obviously look into them, and we look forward to hearing about other sister jurisdictions where they've already put this into code.
Thank you.
So thank you very much.
Carla, next item.